Welcome to the Truthiness Show.
Devil and I walking down the street when we saw this man pick up a little something, something.
The texture of reality is something we touch and try on every day. On March 21st, a contemporary art exhibit, More Real? Art in the Age of Truthiness, opens at Minneapolis Institute of Arts. We'll be talking over what is more real and what is truthiness with the show's curator Liz Armstrong and with some of its artists as we sneak preview the show.
I say, hey, Mr. Devil, what was that? He said, oh,
let's step down the red carpet, the yellow carpet, for an encounter with the more real Oval Office in Thomas DeMond photographs. Truthiness, the word, hit the culture on Comedy Central's Colbert Report in 2005, the way weapons of mass destruction had hit the UN.
We laid down tough standards for Iraq to meet to allow the inspectors to do their job. This council placed the burden on Iraq to comply and disarm, and not on the inspectors to find that which Iraq has gone out of its way to conceal for so long.
It wasn't Colin Powell Stephen Colbert was channeling, but President George W. Bush. W. knew the facts when he felt them, and that gut feel for the truth, synonym noun truthiness, became Merriam-Webster Dictionary Word of the Year in 2006. There's static noise in truthiness, a certain gray area. Here's Colbert interviewing filmmaker Werner Herzog.
You've caught some flack for your documentaries because
you sometimes
make stuff up, or you say intensify.
Yes.
And
yes.
I do that every night, right into that lens over there. I've made up some crazy stuff, and I don't care if they know what's what.
Isn't really a question we ask many times a day?
My name is Liz Armstrong, and I am the first and founding curator of contemporary art at the Minneapolis Institute of Arts. Part of my job is to build a contemporary collection, but by extension, we're interested in how we can look at contemporary art in the context of history, because we have this incredible historical collection and cultural collections.
Another question Liz wants to explore in the More Real show is, does every story need a fact to make it believable?
There were many aspects of what was going on in the culture that began to coalesce for me into an interest in looking at a group of artists, taking it on. I think every generation tries to define, you know, what we mean by real and its own reality. So it's a kind of what is reality show for the moment.
The art in More Real includes painting, photography, sculpture, installations, and video. Those big color photographs of workers lounging on the scaffolding during lunch break. Which one actually lives and breathes? If Sharon Lockhart's lunch break photos can be perplexing, Liz points to another artist in the show who helped clarify the curatorial intent behind More Real.
First of all, when Mark Dion came to the museum to think about doing an installation, he himself really gave me something important to think about, which was this idea of a moral compass. He really helped me think about making a selection of artists who had their compass set to, you know, what is true and how do we distinguish between that and fiction?
I'm John Hirschen. I'm a filmmaker and visual artist.
Typically, artists let their work speak its own truth. But Hirschen is a storyteller, and so his real life slices a little bit closer.
I was born in Branson, Missouri, which is the country music capital of the U.S., if you don't count Nashville. When I was there, it was kind of like a hillbilly Catskills, and my grandfather had started an amusement park. Silver Dollar City was its name, or is its name still.
When I hear the word real, I am fascinated to listen hard to whoever's using it.
What am I doing? It's a bad idea, first off, to try to do funny stuff in the art world.
Liz commissioned Hirshen to orient viewers in a way to the show.
The piece that I have is called Promotional Video for More Real, or How Things Will Be Better for Lisa and Me. The idea is that it would be an informational video, the kind that you would see in a state or national park before you went out to take the hike.
But aren't orientations sometimes really disorienting?
The absurdity of the situation eventually becomes so much that the viewer says, what the hell? What is this? Is this supposed to be funny or is this serious?
Certainly the art in this show is raising that question and asking us to, you know, kind of open our minds to other ways of seeing the world and thinking about things.
I'm sure you've told a lie at some point, right?
We're gonna break it all down and organize the truth. We're gonna shuffle it around and organize the truth.
There are certain pleasures to deception, and if More Real topsies and turvies what you expect to have happen, maybe there's another way to look at what's going on. Since the beginning of time, art objects have been constructed, right? So what if those makers of new things, those constructors known as artists, are negotiating relationships between what's possible and what's plausible?
Okay, my name is Zoe Beloff, and I have an exhibit called A Selection from the Archive of the Coney Island Amateur Psychoanalytic Society.
Steeplechase Park covers 7 million feet of Coney Island's garden spot.
Beloff's archive includes pictures, letters, and so-called dream films of the surreal variety.
I had not been aware that Freud spent an afternoon in Coney Island, a fact often overlooked. He went to Blackpool, he went to Coney Island, and of course, Vienna is one of the great amusement park centers with the Prater. Little known fact, Freud loved amusement parks.
When it comes to the past, what More Real demonstrates is that artists' pasts and present encounters can be very vivid.
I was a train robber. So this is the formative stuff where my art has been kicking in the last 5 years. I was going to Boston University at the time studying theater. My dad said I needed to work at the amusement park during the summer because this is what's paying the bills for my college. So I said, fine. I basically robbed trains that summer. You know, you sit in this robber shack with this other robber, and it's swelteringly hot, and the shack is super tiny, and it's air-conditioned.
The founder of the society was a man named Albert Grass, but Albert Grass completely independently came up with his own theories, and he wasn't just interested in analyzing the amusement park as it was. He wanted to design a specifically Freudian theme park.
The train comes, you rob the train, you have this like goofy script you go through with the conductor, he shoots you.
And he had the idea to rebuild Dreamland, the great amusement park that Freud would have seen and burned down in 1911, as a great Freudian theme park.
Oh my God. You know, we take turns getting shot. There's Alfie and Ralphie Bolin, and they were both stupid, but the dumber one, I think, was Ralphie, and he was the one who always got shot, and he gets shot in the ass.
And he worked really hard in the late 1920s and early 30s to make that a reality. But sadly, I fear he was more of a dreamer than a fundraiser.
The thing that I took away from this, and I can't stop thinking about it, but the structure of fantasy, the structure of reality, the structures that we put around ourselves to, I guess, convince ourselves of our existence.
In this show in Minneapolis, for the first time, I'm going to present his model for what he called the drive-in dreamland. When he couldn't raise money to make his great Freudian theme park in Coney Island, he had an interesting and kind of scaled-down version which he attempted to construct in Los Angeles, which was the figure of the libido as a sort of roadside attraction.
And so I've been very, very, very interested as of late with all my work in this idea of the reveal, of the idea of entertainment, and then the reveal of what's going on, and then slowly flipping that so that it becomes revealed. But even that is a fiction in that revelation. Truth and fiction, I think, are very similar.
When I hear the word real, I think it is not the same word as fact.
Look, I wanna break it all down and organize the truth. We're gonna shuffle it around and organize the truth.
Oh boy, I think that most of us have an intuitive sense when something isn't true, but boy, that's a blanket statement.
When it comes to believing, we do some of our best believing in the dark. Dark is the land of Zoe Beloff's dream films.
When something is real, it can have a poetic truth.
There's an echo in the room.
Sure, I feel like what's my line here? I'm Bruce Jenkins. I'm professor of film, video, and new media at the School of the Art Institute of Chicago.
Poetic truth? Well, let's move now to the big screen, to film's starring role in More Real. Bruce Jenkins has curated a film sidebar to the More Real Art Show, which will play at the Minneapolis St. Paul International Film Festival from April 11th to 28th.
So this series is called More Real, and that's R-E-E-L, to really highlight the fact that cinema is a big part of the duplicitous strategies of contemporary artists who work with image and moving image. And this is a series that is framed by some historical work by Werner Herzog, the father of contemporary, let's call it, mockumentary. He famously said that there was very little verite in cinema verite.
As Herzog confided in the watchers of the Colbert Report,
well, in Cave of Forgotten Dreams, there's a postscript, and all of a sudden you see radioactive albino crocodiles.
But it's really in the early 90s, particularly with a film called Lessons of Darkness. It's like a featurette that takes footage that he shot around the burning oil fields in Kuwait. This is the first Gulf War. And he creates this incredibly engaging, almost sci-fi-like narrative about the firefighters who, as he describes them, it's almost like Fahrenheit 451, are as interested in starting fires as they are in putting out fires. He creates this incredibly engaging narrative through voiceover, and he's got that very distinctive German accented voice.
I want the audience with me in wild fantasies.
And talks about this strange landscape and this strange group of inhabitants that he encounters in his 12-part Minnesota Declaration, which he did in 1999, on the occasion of this retrospective at the Walker Art Center. One of the key tenets is in his fifth declaration. There are deeper strata of truth in cinema, and there is such a thing as a poetic, ecstatic truth. It is mysterious and elusive and can be reached only through, and this is key, fabrication and imagination and stylization.
You see, if I were only fact-based, you see, the book of books in literature then would be the Manhattan phone directory. 4 million entries, everything correct. But it dusts out of my ears and I do not know, do they dream at night? I'm not this kind of a filmmaker.
One might say, P.T. Barnum style, there is an unlimited willingness among people in our culture to believe what we see and hear and experience secondhand on these screens.
Look, I wanna break it all down and organize the truth. We're gonna shuffle it around and organize the truth.
So, we're going in now. We're going into the space of More Real. It's fun. Joke. But for every sleight of hand, there's something a little more serious. Like, what do we mean by history?
Nuclear holy warriors.
And a war.
It could come in the form of a mushroom cloud.
And how do we feel when we see in the art of More Real certain moments reenacted, like An Mi Le, who left Vietnam in 1975, does in Small Wars? Like Omer Fass does in Spielberg's List, a video that makes actors of Holocaust survivors, or is it vice versa?
Devil and I walking down the street when we saw this man pick up a little something, something.
Those traditional truth speakers, the news, the presidents, you know, those traditional sources for truth are now called into question every day.
What I believe in, I believe in the creative capacity of individuals.
It was definitely a joke about, do you want the real me? And I don't know the answer to that. I left it up to him.
On a cold summer morning, I would say the best ride would be the flooded mine. That was my favorite.
Ultimately, the more real feel can happen to the audience too.
And sometimes people would take upon themselves to give tours of my exhibit. And I remember one man saying, looking at one of my pictures and saying he had seen that in a book in his childhood. And so I thought, that's kind of interesting. I kind of inserted a picture into his childhood.
I think the show just immerses you in the world we live in, and it feels incredibly of the moment.
We're gonna break it all down and organize the truth. We're gonna shuffle it around and organize the truth.
Visit More Real, Art in the Age of Truthiness at Minneapolis Institute of Arts from March 21st to June 8th. For more information, go online to artsmia.org. And for the film sidebar, More Real, at Minneapolis St. Paul International Film Festival, visit mspfilmfest.org. Music tracks courtesy ccmixter.org under a Creative Commons license, with thanks to Gert Veniklas for Organized Truth, Natalie Brown and Y. Niazi for Decide, and the Veteran 2000 mix by DJ Delta. Thanks to sound engineer Dennis Hasso. This has been The Truthiness Show, a podcast of the online art magazine AdobeAirstream.com. Subscribe to us on iTunes at A2 Media, letter A, number 2, Media. I'm Ellen Berkovich.